Donc Soren enseigne à l'Institute for the Study of Ancient World à New York. Il est spécialiste des Turcs à l'époque pré-islamique et a beaucoup travaillé donc, sur les populations nomades. Il a fouillé aussi dans le nord du Tadjikistan, donc près en Oustroushana, en fait. Et donc je pense que c'est ce dont il va nous parler donc, dans sa communication intitulée « Nomadic culture in Oustroushana, 2nd century BC, 2nd century AD, and their relationship with the Middle Sir Daria archaeological complex ».
Thank you very much, Lauriane. The archaeology of late Iron Age nomads in Oustroushana is insufficiently studied, at least if compared with neighboring Sogdiana, Ferghana, and the Middle Syrdarya regions. However, this neglect contrasts with the importance of the region for pastoral economies in Mavaranaxa. One needs to recall that in Mavaranaxa, good summer pastures are a fairly scarce resource, especially those for horse breeding. The best summer pastures for horses are found in Upper Khutalan, in the Upper Kashkadarya valleys, and in highland Oustroushana, hence the region's importance, especially to horse breeders. Oustroushana's rich summer pastures are situated in the valley systems in the northern flank of the Turkestan Range, constituting a broad high mountain zone with extensive archa forests and extensive alpine and subalpine meadows at altitudes between 2,000 and 3,200 meters above sea level. Today, these meadows are almost exclusively used by shepherds, which are hired by herd owners from the Kishlaks in the Piedmont zone, but statistical and ethnographical data from the second half of the 19th century and the early 20th century show that back then the summer pastures of the Turkestan Range attracted groups from much further afar. Herdsmen came also from the winter settlements in the Hunger Steppe and also from along the middle course of the Syrdarya. So much for very brief environmental background. Let us now start to look at the archaeological record of late Iron Age burial assemblages in Oustroushana. Today, we know a few dozens of individual kurgans and kurgan clusters in that region. Most of them, as you can see here on this probably not complete distribution map, are situated in the winter camp areas, so either in the Hunger Steppe or in the Piedmont zone. And this observation is fully in accordance with general trends of the placement of burial grounds of pastoral communities in Iron Age Central Eurasia. We know that in difference to the early Iron Age, where burial grounds are predominantly located in the area of summer pastures in high altitudes, late Iron Age kurgans and kurgan clusters are usually found near the winter camps. So that basically, grosso modo, corresponds with the situation that we also find in Oustroushana, with one exception to which I come at the end of my talk. Unfortunately, in Oustroushana, only very few burials in this zone have ever been excavated. As a matter of fact, some seemingly very interesting and, I think, promising ensembles, such as this interesting Kurgan field north of the present-day Kishlak of Tukus-Chalab in present-day Tajikistan, remain, as far as to my knowledge, completely unexplored. To this day, one of the best explored burial grounds in lowland Oustroushana remains the one that was excavated back in 1943 near a spot where the Shirin Sai flows into the Syrdarya. You see it here on the map. It's number 12. In this area, during rescue excavations, a total of 28 pit and catacomb burials were excavated, including both single and collective burials, featuring a fairly uniform inventory, mostly, not exclusively, but mostly consisting of ceramics with very close parallels to the Kaunchi ceramic complex. And this is in general true for all late Iron Age burials so far excavated in lowland Ustrushana. They are all more or less closely related to contemporary burial complexes from the Middle Syrdarya, that is Kaunchi in the Tashkent area or Pudushkin's Aris culture in the Turkestan Otra area. Now, there can be no doubt that the communities dwelling in the Piedmont zone and close to the Syrdarya had, in the winter, had their summer pastures in the high mountains of the Turkestan range, these summer pastures that I showed you at the beginning. But it is also quite possible, I think, for groups from further afar, from the Tashkent area, and maybe even for some groups from the Turkestan Otra areas, because of the potential of these pastures for horse breeders. At least this could explain the location of one of the most exceptional finds ever made in Ustrushana, namely the famous hoard of 1st and 2nd century Roman denarii found in or close to the Kishlak Mujun, close to present-day Khanji in Tajikistan. Interestingly, the closest find spot of Roman imports in the wider region is Catacomb 12 from Kultepe, or Kultope, where a silver fibula, a Roman silver fibula, were found, which is probably from Crimea, dating to the 2nd or early 3rd century CE. Perhaps the Muchum hoard came into this rather unlikely area with groups migrating between winter pastures in the Middle Syrdarya area and summer pastures in the Turkestan range, so on their move upwards or downwards the mountains. So let us now finally turn to the summer pastures themselves and what we know about them during the late Iron Age. As I've mentioned earlier, during the late Iron Age, summer pastures are usually not chosen as places for burial grounds. And as I've mentioned before, this is to some degree reflected in this distribution map with one noticeable exception, namely the upper reaches of one particular high mountain valley system in the central section of the Turkestan range, and that is the valley system of the Arklisai. This valley system was investigated by a Tajik-German team directed by Nabichon Rahimov and myself as part of a larger study comprising the entire Tajik section of the northern Turkestan range. That is three valley systems, the Aktangi system, the Arkli system, and the Dakhkatsai system. One of the results of our study was the discovery of approximately 80 relatively small kurgans in the Arkli system, in the upper reaches of the Arkli system. 12 of them were excavated, and their features regarding burial rites and inventory suggest a dating roughly, they were very poor, but they suggest an approximate dating into the late Iron Age. However, they differ from broadly contemporary kurgans in the lowlands as they don't feature potboys or catacombs, but instead they feature cysts or very, very flat pits. In fact, they somewhat resemble roughly contemporary. That's very poor inventory in these kurgans. They resemble somewhat roughly contemporary kurums from Western Fergana. Now, I mentioned the exceptionality of the location of this Kogan cluster in the high mountains, at the location of summer pastures. In fact, this was the only of the three valley systems where we were able to register Kogans. None of the other valleys we found anything comparable. It's only in the upper reaches of the Arklay system. So the question emerges, why is that? What is different about this system compared to the others? There's one difference in terms how the system communicates with the lowlands. The Arklay system is much more secluded than the other tools. It communicates with the lowlands only through a very narrow gorge. This whole system is basically invisible from the lowlands. That is different from the two other systems. So one could speculate whether one of the reasons to choose the remote upper reaches of the Arklay system, as you see it here, as a burial ground, was the intention to conceal these burials from outsiders. But there is one other important archaeological feature that really distinguishes this particular high valley system from the others, namely the presence of petroglyphs. In total, we registered in the same area, in the upper reaches of the Arklay system, an petroglyph ensemble of 84 stone boulders bearing one or more petroglyphs. They all come from only one site system, the upper parts of the Navali, which is the main upper tributary of the Arklay. The repertoire of these petroglyphs is fairly typical for rock art in Central Asia. They depict mostly ibexes. In addition, we find various kinds of signs and symbols, tamgas, tamga-like symbols. Very interesting and important for dating are two interesting representations of chariots, one light chariot with spoked wheels without drawn animals, another depiction of two chariots facing each other with drawn animals, horses, oxen maybe. There are very few petroglyphs with anthropomorphic representations, but one of them is particularly interesting for our context. There are also petroglyphs that are stylistically somewhat reminiscent of Scytho-Siberian animal style, but that is a rather weak argument for dating. There are a few anthropomorphic depictions, and one is particularly interesting. It depicts a figure in the posture of a worshipper, except for an unidentified object on its back. It is accompanied by four ibexes. Two of them here merge into each other into a kind of heraldic motif, for which we have a very exact parallel in the mountains northeast of Fergana. Very, very similar. What is particularly interesting is the location of this particular depiction on a stone boulder right next to the spring, to the main spring of the valley system. And one wonders if this particular place and the surrounding meadows was indeed considered to be a special place by those who left the petroglyphs. That the location of petroglyphs in this zone is not at all incidental becomes clear if we look at the distribution map again. As I told you, in the entire Tajik section of the northern Turkestan range that we prospected rather carefully, only in this particular side valley we found petroglyphs. Although in other valleys there were also stones with patina that were well suitable for that. Only here. It is well known that petroglyphs were often created at spots which held a special importance to the community or to the individuals who created them. Now, interestingly, there is one more feature that is unusual in this very same site valley. Just to remind you of the configuration, the lower part of the Side Valley is blocked by a stone setting here that runs across the entire Side Valley. It's very difficult to explain the function of this line of stone boulders or upright set flat stone slabs. They cannot be have served as a fences for herds or fields. What we can see in the distribution of monuments in this particular Side Valley is that basically all the petroglyphs are upwards this stone setting, and almost all kurgans are below that, with the exception of two kurgans, but they are also special because it's these two. One of them is rather close, but beyond, somewhere in this area, beyond this fence. The other one is right in the area where we find the petroglyphs. And these are the only burials that we excavated that were collective burials. This is a kurgan with a female burial with a newborn, and that was unfortunately completely looted kurgan with at least two male, with at least two adult individuals. So also these two kurgans beyond are kind of special. Of course, I don't want to go too much into speculations, but the entire ensemble recalls beliefs and perceptions common among many Central Asian mountain dwellers. Often the highest mountain peaks are associated with sacral purity and considered as residences of supernatural beings. In Dardic epics and myths, eerie zones are described as upwards the valley. Consequently, each movement upwards the valley was an activity of some sacral potential, or as Yetmar once put it, and I quote, "Ascending into the mountains means entering the suprahuman sphere, which can only be attempted under certain conditions in order to bring back blessings from there," end of quote. And from there, it is only a small step to taboo spots in the high mountains. And indeed, such taboo zones are very well known, for instance, from the Khalash, which, again, according to Yetmar, considered entire high mountain lakes as belonging to mountain spirits, so that nobody dared to draw near, and neighboring pastures remained unused. Interestingly, the purity of the area was considered to pass on to the game, to ibexes and wild goats. So apart from the notion of a spatial taboo, there's also an association with wild goats and ibexes, with purity and the sphere of the suprahuman. And both aspects, the sacrality of high mountain zones and the sacrality of ibexes living there, made hunting them a kind of spiritual activity. Consequently, there were many rituals of spiritual preparation performed by the hunter before the hunt, including the creation of images of the beasts of the chase. And of course, all this is strongly reminiscent of this entire complex. And I shall mention here that beside the many depictions of ibexes, we also find a hunting scene in this rock art complex. Thus, one wonders whether the stone wall immediately below the petroglyphs functioned as a kind of barrier separating the average barrows, kurgans, from some sort of sacral preserve near the highest mountain peaks containing the valley system's major spring and a rock art ensemble. However that may be, at any rate, I think it is no coincidence that the only late Iron Age kurgans deep inside the mountains in the area of the summer pastures that we find in the Turkestan Range is located close to the only ensemble of petroglyphs found in the same valley system among all the valleys that we investigated. Perhaps the upper reaches of the Arklay Sai system were considered a special place during the late Iron Age. Unfortunately, however, it is impossible to say why that might have been the case. Thank you.